Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
I do thank you for the opportunity to come and share God's word with you. And most of you know that I worked at the lot. I say worked. I just actually, my last day was Saturday. I'm moving on to something else that the Lord has led me to do, and I'm blessed all the way around, whatever. But the lot is near and dear to my heart, so I do want to share about the lot, but I also want to put it in God's perspective and what God is leading us to do at the lot and what God is leading you to do. And we are called to serve, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. So we're going to start in Matthew, and I do have some scriptures to go around. So we'll be in different verses or different chapters or books. But we are called to serve. Every one of us in this room are called to serve. And that's what we need to do with the Lord. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll start with verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. And I'll begin reading there. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Let's pray. Our dear, kind, gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we are just so grateful and thankful for the blessings and the guidance and the love that you've given us, Father. We just now ask that you be with us as we look into your word, Father. Help everything said bring glory and honor to your name, Father. Just let this place be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give me the words to say. And Father, just guide us and direct us throughout this day, Father. In Christ's holy precious name we pray. Amen. So I'll ask a question here. Did anybody catch in there what the lot is? And now those that work at the lot, they're not allowed to answer this question. So, but did anybody catch in there what we just read, what the lot stands for? I see somebody shaking their head. Anybody, what's it say? Least of these. So the lot is the least of these, Matthew 25, 40. And when we serve, who are we really serving? We're serving the Lord. That's what he just said here, right? When you did it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. And when we go out and serve, that's what we're doing. We're serving the Lord. And is there a better person to serve? There's not a better person to serve. When we go out and we do the things that we do, not only at the lot, but when you go out and serve, you're serving the Lord God Almighty. There's not a better person to serve. That is Christ speaking too. That's him speaking. So now let's go to John chapter 6. And I think this is a real important verse about service that I think sometimes people get confused of what has really occurred in this verse. It's going to be John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with the disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said unto him to prove him for himself knew he would, what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them that may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now where there's much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, which he had given thanks. When he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing is lost. Therefore he gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth the prophet that should come into the world. Most people announce this or share this scripture as Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus fed the 5,000. And really, when you look at it back then, they didn't count women and children. So it was more than 5,000 that was fed with these little loaves and little fishes. But I disagree. It was not Jesus that fed the 5,000. Jesus did not feed the 5,000 there. If you look at verse 11, it says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, what'd he do? He distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Jesus will always provide, but he expects us to do our part as well. So Jesus provided. He blessed the food. He made a miracle. It was a miracle. How can you feed over 5,000 people with that, what they had? But the Lord provided. But who distributed? The disciples distributed. Who are we? We are the disciples of God. So God will provide. Whatever you have, whatever you want to give, God will provide. And there's a couple lessons we need to look at here. The little boy, what did he have? He had very little, very little. But he was willing to give it up for the Lord, and he gave it to the Lord. And what did God do with it? He multiplied it. So no matter what you think you have to give, how little much it may be, or how much you have, it doesn't matter. If you're doing it for the Lord will provide and multiply that and it'll make big. He'll make it big, right? Little as much as when God is in it. There's a couple other lessons here about that we need to learn about this little boy. What's his name? Anybody know the little boy's name? It doesn't say, does it? When we serve, it is not about me. It is not about you. It is not for me to go and say, hey, look what I did. You see what I did? I had all the fish. I had all the bread and everything. I gave it to, look what they did with all my stuff that I gave. We don't even know the little boy's name. We don't even know the little boy's name. He did it because the Lord had him to do it. And we don't need recognition when we serve. And the little bit he had, he gave, and then there was no recognition for him. So no matter how much we have, no matter how small it is, God can use it. And as we already mentioned, the disciples fed. God provided, the disciples fed. And that's what we do with a lot. We don't make the food. And when we have a difficult situation, and I will tell you right now, praise you, thank God that you guys are doing this food drive, because there is some issues with getting food from Second Harvest and everything. We got a letter from the CEO saying that what you've been getting, you're not going to be getting. I'll give you an example. We've been getting about 15,000 pounds of food, which is TFAP, which is a government program. No, it's 5,000 pounds. We got 500 pounds last time. So it went from 5,000 pounds of food to 500 pounds of food. But you know what? God's going to provide, right? Little as much when God is in it, God's going to take care of it. And he has. There's not one time we had to turn anybody away for food. God will provide as much as you get once he gives it. So God will provide, right? So why does he not fill every kitchen in this county? So the lot basically takes care of Rockingham County, and I'll get into a little bit more about that. But why doesn't he fill every kitchen? God could have a thought and fill every pantry, every kitchen in this county. Why don't he do it? We're his hands and feet. We are the ones to go out and do it. He will provide, but we are the ones to go out and serve and be his disciples and share the good news of what God does. So what does Lot do, and what Rockingham United? Is everybody familiar with Lot and Rockingham United? The Lot is the location, the brick and mortar. The Rockingham United is the mobile food pantry. Everybody seen the mobile food pantry? Okay, I see some of y'all. I'll share about more of that as well. But so what is the Lot? It's a place of hope. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of companionship, love, fellowship, community, prayer, food, of course. They just celebrated the over 10 years. I think we're in our 11th year now. And they just started counting the amount of food in 2016. And as it stands now, and it's over that now, but over 1 million pounds of food, 1 million pounds of food has been distributed through the lot. That is a lot of food. That's taking care of a lot of people. So what else do we do? We have a thrift store. If you haven't seen it, I mean, you know, we're right down the road here. We're in your backyard. I would encourage you to come by and take a look. We have a thrift store there. We have a cafe that serves a meal 11:30 to 1 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. And I'll just share this. I was first hired there as the cafe manager. I do not cook. So I'm just so thankful to Marty that he gave me the opportunity. I felt called there. I told him that. So he gave me the opportunity to be the cafe manager. And I told everybody, I'm going to feed them. But it was out of box, bags, and cans. And that's what they got. They all got fed, but it was box. Our cafe manager's here today, Debbie. She does homemade cooking and that kind of stuff where I fed them. It probably wasn't the best, but we did feed them. But the Lord will provide, right? I remember you, yeah. Yeah.
It's called the house.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's a very good program.
Yeah, yeah. They came with a group home and stuff, and yeah. We fed them about every day. About 20 of them come up there, and yeah. They ate my cooking. I didn't kill nobody, so everybody was still good. So everybody's still kicking. But you know, let us say, you know, if you're willing to serve, God's going to use you. And I was willing to serve. I don't cook at home. I ask my wife. And if I do, it's bland and plain. It's not. But I was willing. If you're willing to serve, God is going to use you. I promise you that. That's not a promise from me. That's God's promise. If you have the heart and the desire to serve God, he is going to give you the opportunity to serve. And that's what he did with me. I went from a funeral director or a funeral home to the cafe manager. That's what I did, because that's what I felt God calling me to do. And now God's calling me to somewhere else after I'm leaving the lot. So when you faithfully follow God and you're willing to serve, I promise you, he's going to give you opportunities to serve. I promise you that. And again, that's not my promise. That's a promise from God. But so we're much more in a food pantry, but our main goal is, our purpose is repurposing lives, reclaiming futures, restoring hope with God's help. Sharing the good news of the gospel. I will tell you this. Yes, it is important that we share food. It is, because people need the food. But I'm going to tell you right now, what we do has nothing to do with food. Nothing to do with food. It is our opportunity to go out to the community and share God's word. Share what God has done for us and be able to build that community. There's people in this world, and there's people sitting in this room, because I know I'm standing in this room. There are broken people in this world that need to hear the good news of the gospel. And if you just walk up to them and start preaching Jesus, some may or may not listen to you because they have physical needs. But if you go up there and you feed them, you're going to build a relationship with that individual, and they're going to start listening to what you say about Jesus. It's a door opener. It's going to get you to the people, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be food, but whatever the clothing, whatever the case may be. If you go and you're willing to meet their physical needs, it's what we've read, you meet their physical needs, you're going to start being able to share the gospel, and then you can meet their spiritual needs. So we have a thrift store. We have the cafe. We used to deliver food, but we don't do that no more. But we have a pantry there at the lot the second Saturday of every month. And I will share this. We're all right down the road here. Come and volunteer. It's a blessing. I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing when you go. But the second Saturday of every month, they always need volunteers back there, because we serve 60 to 70, sometimes 85 families within a matter of hours. And then we're serving lunch on top of that with all them. But they're getting now it's brought down about 70 pounds of food. It used to be about 150 pounds of food, but with the changes. But come out and join us there. We have Bible studies every Thursday through Saturday. Bible studies, it's called Elevate Learning. It's basically classroom time. I teach a class there. Marty teaches a class. We have a nurse that teaches a class. And we have several other pastors that come in and teach a Bible study. And that's a time of community and fellowship. And that's the time that you get to be able to share the word of God with those other people. We're advocacy, so we try to help people with other issues. We don't pay everything. We can't pay everything, but we try to get them help. We have 10 pantries that we go through. So the mobile market, if you haven't seen, is a tractor trailer truck that goes out. It has a freezer, refrigerator in it, and all kinds of stuff that food. We can feed up to 60 families. We go to 10 locations throughout the county every single month, same date, same time. And we do it right here. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they go to the building that I live in.
Right.
The cow, they go there.
Right. So Mount Villa, Stone Arbor, two apartment complexes that we go to, and we go right to those apartment complexes, and we serve the thing, and that's the first Thursday of every month. You can help out with that one. You can help. There's Western Rock right here that we may or may not need a coalition. So let me share how we do this. So the 10 locations that we go to within the community, and we learned that we had to kind of divide it up by fire districts or towns because we would have people coming from, and we want to feed them, but you're limited. Gibsonville, Burlington, elsewhere, coming to these locations here in Rockingham County. So we kind of limited to the fire department, fire districts, or the town or the city. So we have a pantry right down the road here that we would love to have you join us. So what it is we try to get a minimum of 4 churches or organizations. Some of them are not all churches. And they come in and they take turns every month. It's 4 churches. January, one organization or church will do the volunteer and pay theirs a fee. Next month, the next church will. Next month, and so on. And then it just keeps rotating. And that's part of the coalition. And again, you're building relationship with the individuals that come, because a lot of times it's the same people that come to the place. So we have 10 locations where we built these coalitions. And Mount Villa, Stone Arbor, as mentioned by my friend there, Monroe and Bethany, Western Rock, which is the one that you could join, Shiloh, Williamsburg, Circle Drive in Reidsville, Wentworth, Ruffin, Oregon Hill, Quail Acres. All of these are the locations we go to. And our goal was to, and COVID struggled with this, but our goal was to get other organizations and agencies to come to these markets so it's a one-stop place. So if you're having trouble with addiction, we'll have somebody that serves about addiction. If you're having housing trouble or finances or whatever, and some have come, ADTS, the Dancing Goats. Have you ever heard of the Dancing Goats? Anybody heard of the Dancing Goats? Okay. It's a funny name, but it's cute. So they provide medical equipment for anybody that wants it. Either they'll give it to them or loan it to them. And I'm talking hospital bed, canes, whatever the case may be, shower. So we've had invited them. So it's a resource for everybody to come there and join and grow and have opportunities to serve and have their needs met. So why do we do all this? Why do we serve God? Why do we do this stuff at the lot? And the simple answer is we're called. We are called to serve. If you want to join me, I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another, as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Why do we do what we do? We do it because we're called to do, but we also do it to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we do it. That's the purpose of doing it, is to serve Him, glorify Him. Everything that we do is through Him and for Him. Imagine, let's go to 2 Timothy real quick too, 2 Timothy, and then 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us? Who saved us? Christ has saved us. And what He did? Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He has called us, He has given us grace, and He has called us and expects us to use and do the things that He's called us to do. Just imagine, if every Christian on this planet would do what God called them to do. Just imagine if all of us did what God called us to do. We could change the world. We would change the world. Christ and 12 apostles, what'd they do? They changed the world. And if all of us that is called by God would go out and do what God called us to do, it would be a totally different world in which we live. But unfortunately, we don't do it. Now, I've been told sometimes when I preach, and it's kind of a lesson / preaching, but I step on toes. But I promise you, if I step on any of your toes, I'm stepping on mine as well. And 1 Corinthians 7:7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man that has his proper gift of God, one after his manner and one after the other." God is summoning all of his individuals and his people to himself so that they will belong to him and serve him in this world. The calling of a believer may be involved in a specific place, task, or vocation. Every one of us sitting in this room has a calling. Every one of us has a talent, a God-given talent that he's given us to do. And it's going to be different from, I can't play the guitar for nothing. You wouldn't want me to do it, by no means. But Eric has the talent. Others have the talent up here. I, with the drum, you all, everybody has a talent to serve. It may be cooking. It may be teaching. It may be volunteering. It may be praying over others. Compassion. Compassion is a great gift to have. That's a way of serving. Compassion for someone another. Writing letters, cards, giving. We could go on and on. All of God's children have been given gifts for his glory. He has given the gifts, and it's for his glory. Now, I'm going to touch base on this because I don't want to get muddy the waters here, but if we turn to James real quick, James chapter 2, we'll read verse 14 through 20 real quick, because I think, well, some people get this scripture mixed up, but it's going to be James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. I'm sorry, verse 20. "And what doth it profit, my brethren, that a man say he hath faith," and the key word there, "say, he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, ye are warmed and filled notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou that believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" This is talking about faith, and the whole thing is, but what the example he gave was destitute. If somebody needs something, clothing, food, whatever the case may be, and you don't give it to them, and you say, hey, that's great, we'll pray for you, you go on, and you don't help them nothing, what does that accomplish? It's what they're saying here is the same thing about faith. I don't want no one to say that I'm teaching works versus faith. I don't want to. So he's making the argument, those that say they have faith is going to do the works. And that's what we're here to. If we have faith, we're going to feed those. We're going to take care of those that God has put in front of us. That's what we're called to do. And again, I don't want to. He's not arguing with Paul. Sometimes people take the scripture that he's arguing with Paul, that Paul's saying, you know, he very, very clearly preaches works, faith without works. You got to have faith. Works doesn't matter. He's just, James is comparing that if you don't take care of the needs or you don't have faith to take care of these needs, you're not doing anything. You're not doing any good for anyone else that you're serving. So again, we talked about that. Food is a door opener. And here's the thing about this too. When you go out and you share and you serve, many people have said, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know how to tell them about Jesus. I don't know. If you're saved, you're saved by grace. And if you're saved, you know what the gospel is, because you have to know the gospel to be saved. So when you go out and share and serve and you have these opportunities, share your testimony. Tell them what God has done for you. And that's the gospel. What God has done for you, he saved your soul. He died on the cross for your sin. You're covered with the blood of the Lamb. And you can go out. People say, I don't know how to share the gospel. If you're saved, that's the gospel. Share that when you have that opportunity and tell others about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, and then take care of their needs and take care of the needs that they have before you. That's people don't understand that salvation is what we've already learned or what we have. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto the liberty. And liberty is we're not under the law no more. We're under grace. You've been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love and serve one another. We are not to serve to take care of ourselves. We're not to serve to bring honor and glory to our name. Remember the little boy? No honor to him. Nobody even knows his name. He didn't go out and say, look at me. We are called to serve our Lord and Savior. Serve one another in love. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We're to serve the Lord That's what he's called us to do, and he's going to honor you if you serve him. God has put you on this earth for a purpose. And I will tell you this, many times it's been said to me that because of my past sins, that I can't be used of God. Have you ever been told that? You can't be used of God because of your past sins? Let me tell you something. Everybody, God is a forgiving God, and God will use you no matter what sin you've been in. And don't let the devil lie to you, because the devil will lie to you and convince you that you are not the one. You can't do this. You can't serve in this manner. You can't do this because of your sin. Let me tell you something. If you're saved by grace, those sins are forgotten and forgiven, and God can use you any way he chooses to use you. Don't let anybody tell you the lie of the devil that you can't serve God for whatever reason, because you can serve the God any way he wants you to be served. So I got some stories I want to share with you, and one just happened recently. Food Line gave us the opportunity to, they gave us a grant for the mobile market. So they wanted to come and present, you know, the big check that they always make. I got to have a photo op, but they gave us a big check, and some of them from the store came, and they wanted to stay and volunteer and help at the mobile market and serve. And I was talking to one of the ladies that was at Food Line, and she said, I just wanted to share with you that if it hadn't been for your organization, this ministry, my son and I would have been hungry several times. I didn't know it, but she had come to the market multiple times to get food for her and her son. And then she's back out here serving with us. But boy, that's a blessing. Let me tell you something. When you go out and serve, you think you're blessing others, and you are. But I promise you, and that's God's promise, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed when you go out and serve. The thing is, you have to follow God's will. When you feel called to do something, go do it. Don't sit on your hands. Guess what? This is not a country club. There's not a church in this county or in this world that is a country club. We are not here to be served. We are called to serve. We are called to serve. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. It was good. It was really good. It was, you know, my clients enjoyed it. You know, and I thought it was really nice.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, that's what we're all called to serve, and every one of us, like I say, is going to have a different capacity. But when this lady come up and shared that with me, and you know, sometimes that's hard. You don't want to come up and say, "I need food. I can't afford food, or I can't afford this." That's hard to do. That's hard to come up. But she was thankful. And she come up and said, if it hadn't been for y'all, my son and I would have had food for several months when we come up here. And then she's coming out to serve. And by the way, once they were done, it was about six of them from Food Line, a store in Reedsville, because that's where we were at. They all come to me and said, when do y'all do this again? We want to be back. And they're planning on coming back again. I promise you, if you go out and serve on the truck, you come out and serve at the lot, you're going to want to come out and do it again. Because the blessing is going to be yours. You're blessing others, but the blessing is going to be yours. And I always tell this story. It was one of the first markets we did out in the Monroton, Bethany area. And at the time, because of COVID, we were doing a drive-through. So the cars just pulled up. We had teams of two that would load up the car, and the clients didn't get out of the car. So it was kind of slow. I went over to this gentleman, older car. This guy was probably in his 30s. He's sitting there, and they're loading up his groceries. And I will tell you what they get. They get two or three meats, probably three or four meats sometimes, bread and dessert, fresh produce, deli items, drinks, some hygiene items if we have them, maybe missing some stuff, but that's the gist of what they get. So they're loading up his car, and at times, by the way, thank you Food Line down here, right here too, because they donate food to us Tuesday through Saturday. We get stuff from Food Line down here. Am I pointing the right direction? Wherever it is. Back there? All right. The Food Line over here somewhere is giving you, but so they give us food. So sometimes we get these full-size birthday cakes that they donate to us, and I'm just talking to him for a second. There's two or three people in the car, and he looks back as they're loading up the car, and they're loading up a birthday cake. And I'm telling you, the man's 30-some years old. This is what happened. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my, is that a birthday cake? Is that a birthday cake? And so he said, yeah. Oh, it's my birthday today. It's my birthday. Now, this man's 30 years old, 30-plus, and he was like a 5-year-old. Now, I'm not making fun of him. What I'm saying is, when did this man have a birthday cake in his life? Has he ever had a birthday cake in his life? But 30-some years old, he looked at that birthday cake like it was the most exciting thing that had happened to him for a while. And we forget, those of us, I've had a birthday cake probably every birthday I've lived. And we forget that those that are in need don't have the things that we do, and how important a little thing can do in somebody's life. But it just made my day. I was like, amen. He got his birthday cake on his birthday. You know, that small thing. That's a small thing. Who would have thought that that day, when I went out there that day, I would have never thought a birthday cake would bring me joy and seeing somebody else joy. But he was so happy and so thankful that he had that birthday cake. It was incredible. We've had two souls saved at the markets. One, I will share with you that as we go to the church that we've been going to, was saved at the market and now is an active baptized member, active member of that church. And when they put out signs to advertise their markets. She is the one that goes picks them all back. She still comes to the market, gets her food, but she comes and picks up all the signs after the market and puts them away. She's serving. She's serving the Lord. She's paying back what God has done for her. So we had another guy, and here we are, a ministry, and then we didn't know. There was a man living in the woods next to the lot. And one of the other clients come up to me as I was coming into work, and they were standing on the front sidewalk, and he said, "Hey, Victor, this guy needs help. He's living in the woods." Well, that's not our thing. We don't do help. You know, we don't have the funds to do it. But we do try to help when we can. And what I love about this is, so we just decided we're going to try to help him. And we reached out to multiple different churches. And between all of the churches, we put him up in a hotel for about a week. I went and helped him try to find a place to live. We found him an apartment. And they put all these churches come together and got his first month, last month rent, and his deposit. Now, I'm not saying we go hand out to everybody. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is these were multiple churches, different denominations, not all Baptist, not all Methodist, but God's people. That's why we're God's people, right? We're not Baptist, whatever, whatever. We are God's people. Come together and help this man. That's what the coalitions are built of, all kinds of different churches as well. We are God's people. I don't care what you want to call yourself. Baptist, United Methodist, I don't care what. We're God's people if we're saved by grace. Amen? We're God's people. But they all come together. And I'll tell you another story. When I was serving lunch, we had to serve lunch out in the driveway. Or the store was closed during COVID, during part of the time. But we never stopped serving lunch. And we wheeled the cart out to the front, and we'd serve right off the patio or the sidewalk out front. And this little old guy came here, and he's passed away since. This little guy comes, and he would come every day, and he'd say, "Can I get two? Can I get two lunches?" I said, "Sure." So we give him two lunches. So I figured either he's taking one for lunch, and then he's keeping one for dinner or whatever. And one day, I don't know what compelled me to ask, but I said, "Well, so why do you get two lunches every day?" 92 years old, he said, I got to take it back to my girlfriend. So he was coming and picking up his lunch. He's 92 years old, and he wanted to pick up his lunch for his girlfriend. That's what I'm talking about. When you go out and serve, that's the blessings you're going to get. I mean, that warmed my heart. I was like, oh, my goodness, a 92-year-old man, and he's taking his lunch to his girlfriend. That's what we're called to do. We're called to get these blessings to other people, and we're going to get blessed back. Another family comes in, and this was inside when we was back inside, and he had two teenage boys that was with him, his wife, and I hadn't seen him, so I went and talked to him at the cafe, and it was during COVID again. And then two of his sons were trying to get their driver's license, but they couldn't get in the DMV because of all the mess, and they were trying to get jobs. There was seven of them in this household, and they made $750 a month. $750 a month. That's why we're called to serve. For people like that, we need to go out and find these people. And I'm not saying we do a handout because there's people that can work that shouldn't get the things, but we are to go out and serve. God will figure out who needs the funds. God will figure out who needs the food. That's what we need. We've been through the drive-thrus, and somebody comes by in an Escalade. And I've had people come up to me and say, "Are we really going to serve him in this Escalade?" I said, "Yes, we are. We absolutely are. And here's why. God called us to do it. God called us to do it. And when God calls me to do it, I want to do my very best to do it." And then they want to ask, "Why are we going to serve this individual if he's got an Escalade?" Well, here's the thing. I don't know his story. Well, you don't know his story. None of us knows his story. This man had bought this Escalade 3 years ago, had a great job, and then he got hurt or whatever, and that Escalade's getting ready to be repossessed. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the issue is. But I'm called to serve God. I'm not called to determine and judge individuals to say, "Well, that one I'll serve, that one I won't. That one I'll serve, that one I won't." I'm called to serve God, and we'll serve that individual. Now, the moment we find out somebody's cheating or doing something, we're going to stop it because we have the responsibility to take care of what God has given us. But until we know that, we're serving that individual. That's just the way it needs to be. And here's one that really broke my heart. So there's a gentleman that comes to the pantry on the second Saturday of every month. And he's always there before, we don't even start serving till about 9:15 or so. And when I get at work about 7:45, he's already sitting there waiting for his pantry. He don't drive, he doesn't have a car. But we also have a mobile market the same day. So we'll pull the truck up in front of the store and we'll start unloading from the Friday market, unloading stuff for the Saturday market. Well, he always jumps in and helps. He's probably in his 60s or so, but he always jumps in and helps. He wants to help us. He wants to help us. Well, this particular morning, we had a lot of volunteers coming in to help with the lot. And it's a glass front. You've seen the storefront. So you can see people inside. And he was helping us and helping us. And we've about done what we're doing. He went back and sat down on the bench. And I looked over and I could see he was not happy. He was disappointed. He wasn't happy. And when I got closer, I could see actually there was a tear. Now this guy, I'm not going to say his name or not, but he's one of those gruff, older guys that you would just think would smack you in the head just as a rather look at you. And he's just one of those gruff guys. And there's a tear going down his cheek. And I went over and I'm trying not to say his name. I went over and said, "Hey, what's wrong? What's going on?" And this is what he said. He said, "I want what they have." And he pointed to the window. I said, "What do you mean they want what you want? What they have? What do they have?" "I want what they have." He said, "They're happy. They're laughing. They're getting along. They have companionship. I don't have that. I want that." Whew. Talking about pulling your heartstrings. I brought me to tears. I said, "Oh my gosh." This man that I judged as being a gruff, mean, I don't want to say mean because he's not really mean, but he's just a gruff fella. And he was upset and had tears in his eyes because he didn't have the companionship and the love that he saw going on inside the lot. Broke my heart. Sorry. So, we invite him in as coffee. We have lunch every day. So I said, "Man, come and have lunch with me every day. We'll sit down and have lunch. We, you know, let's build a relationship." And I started talking to him more. And he's been going there before I worked there. He's been going there that long. But we don't know what we're dealing with until we go out and serve. We don't know the broken people that we have that we can deal with. And God has given you a gift. God has given you a talent to go out and serve. And yes, I would love for you to come and serve at the lot. I won't be there as much as I used to be, but I would love for you to come and serve at the lot. But if that's not what you're called to serve, we felt called to serve, don't serve there. But serve. Serve where the Lord leads you, because I'm going to tell you, just like these stories has indicated, and you can see they bless me, you're going to be blessed. You're called to do it. You're going to be blessed. And then what later on, really, as we, you know, again, he don't come to lunch often, but when he does sometimes, but he introduced me to somebody, and he said, "This is my friend. This is my friend, Victor." Whew, that touched my heart too, you know. This man that was gruff and everything, and just because I showed him a little bit of kindness, now I'm his friend. And I think that's what you're going to build when you go out and serve God. You're going to build these times. You're going to build these relationships. And not only that, you're going to be closer to God. And God is going to reward you. Not that we do it for that reason. We're not doing it to be rewarded or be blessed. We do it because God called us to do it. So I would encourage you today, when you walk out these doors, that you serve somewhere. And if you haven't been serving, I would ask that you pray to God and say, "Lord, give me the opportunity. Show me where you want me to use my gifts. And show me, even if I don't have that gift, I was cooking in the lot and I didn't have that gift, but God allowed me to do it. Show me where you want me to serve, and I promise you, he will give you the ability. He will give you the ability to serve where he wants you to serve." So I would encourage you today, go out and serve somewhere, reach out to God, and ask him where you can serve. I know it says in Matthew, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me." You're serving the Lord when you're serving others. So I would encourage you to go out and serve. Serve those that you may not be accustomed to serving. Serve those that you may not feel comfortable serving. Get out of your comfort zone because God wants you to serve. I'm going to get ready to close, so I was giving the band the heads up. But I praise you and thank you for the opportunity to come out and share God's word with you today. I know I talked a lot about the lot, but it's really about service to the Lord. And that's what we're doing at the lot, and that's what you're called to do. You're called to serve. So thank you again for allowing me to come and share. And I just pray that you go out and serve. Let's pray. Our dear, kind, gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Father. We thank you for this opportunity that you give us to serve, Father. We just pray that every soul in here is focused on serving you, Father, and that if they're not serving you, that they'll have the opportunity to reach out to you and seek out your guidance and your will. And Father, we do pray today that if there's a lost one here today, Father, that today will be the day of salvation. Today they'll see the need to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, Father. And we just pray that if that's the case, they'll come forward today and we could lead them to your Son and salvation and see the difference of this world and salvation versus the world here. So, Father, guide us, direct us, Father. Just let us have a good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Father. We love you and we praise you. In Christ's holy, precious name we pray. Amen.